these, and I just felt there was a couple more I needed to finish up. We're talking about the fact that God's word is the foundation of everything. And specifically today, we're looking at the fact that God's word is the foundation of blessing and prosperity. Okay? And when I use that word prosperity, maybe there's some you're thinking, are you like a prosperity preacher? Well, let me get this really clear for you. I am a Bible preacher, and prosperity is one of the topics covered in this book. So as a Bible preacher, I need to cover all the topics, not only my favorites. And so today we are going to look at what the Bible says about prosperity, what it says about blessing, and I'm going to give you a little picture of what it says. Because I only have about 40 minutes here to give you a part of a picture, a glimpse of it. There's no way that I can cover the whole subject. And so you're going to have only a part of what the Bible says about blessing and prosperity. Okay, so are you okay with that? So you can't judge everything I believe about it on 40 minutes. And you can't determine your belief on it from a 40-minute message. Is that all right? So what does that mean? It's a big topic, and you should probably look into it. But anyways, here we go. Our key verse, Luke chapter 6, 46 to 49 is the key verse we've been using throughout the series. It's Jesus talking to his followers. And he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." So Jesus telling his followers, if you hear my word and do it, it's like building your life on a strong foundation. Nothing can shake it. Nothing will cause you to fall. And so specifically today, we're going to look at the fact that God's word is the foundation of blessing and prosperity. Now, you say, okay, so is there a bit of scripture, a lot of scripture? What does the Bible really have to say? Other people have checked this out, and they say that there are more than 2,300 verses on money, wealth, and possessions. And I have good news. I'm not going to read them all today. Okay, so you're okay. But that's a lot of verses. Also, they've checked it out, and Jesus spoke about money roughly 15% of his preaching. And 11 out of the 39 parables mention money. In other words, it was Jesus' most talked about topic. And his next talked about topic, just in case you were wondering, was hell. Okay, we'll leave that for another weekend. Sometimes we get an impression of what is in here just simply because we're hearing a whole bunch of one thing. But you might want to check this out. There's some amazing stuff in it. And God wants it for us to learn and grow. He didn't put that many scriptures in there for nothing. It was so that we could learn from them, so that we could grow. All right. Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28. Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28. Says, look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you. But you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods you have not known before. So God is clearly saying he wants to bless his people. And he says, listen, if you follow my word, you'll be blessed. Everybody say blessed. Luke 11, 28, Jesus says this. Blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. God's word concerning blessing and prosperity becomes a foundation when we apply it. Now, when we talk about blessing and prosperity, there's a few points I want to bring out today to help you with it. And the first point I want you to know and never doubt is this: God wants his people blessed and prospering. Okay, and if you've been a part of church for many, many years, you may not understand this, or you may have even heard messages where it seems more like God wants his people poor. But that's not scriptural. Okay? Now, if God has called you to give away everything you have and move to another country and live in a shack, then you better do it. Okay? But scripturally, he wants his people blessed. So let me give you some scripture. Proverbs 10 and verse 22. Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Can I say something? Rich is not a bad word in the Bible. Did you know that? The word rich is not a sinful word. It says he makes a person rich. Okay, well, if that's true, then the Bible must say a lot about it. It does. Let me ask you a question. Who was the most wealthy person ever? Solomon. King Solomon in the Bible was the most wealthy person ever. King Solomon was a follower of God, chosen by God to lead his people. And God said, "I'm going to make you blessed." But let's read it. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. Solomon has just begun his leadership as king, and he goes and prays to God. And while he's praying to God, God says, "You can ask whatever you want. I'm going to give it to you." And Solomon says, "I need wisdom and understanding to lead your people." Verse 11 is God's answer. God said to Solomon, "Because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies, or even a long life, but rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested, but I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future." What? Here is God telling him, "I'm going to make you the most wealthy person ever." And now maybe they think, "Well, I thought wealth was bad." Listen, there's a scripture that says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of it. And obviously Solomon did not have a problem with money. Now if you read his story, we know he had some other issues. But he never made money or wealth his God. And the Lord knew that he wouldn't and blessed him abundantly. If you read further in the scripture, it actually says that Solomon made silver like the stones on the ground in Jerusalem. In other words, if you were walking in Jerusalem and saw a chunk of silver, you wouldn't have even picked it up. There was that much wealth in Jerusalem. You know, some people here, if I see gold or silver, I'm going to pick it up. I'm just, you know. That much wealth. Did you know that? God wants his people to be blessed and prospering. Let's look at another Bible person that many of you know. I'm picking ones you know well. What about Abraham? In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 3, God calls Abraham and makes him a promise. God had told Abraham, "Leave your own country behind you and your own people and go to the land that I will guide you to. If you do, I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, and you will be a blessing to many others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And the entire world will be blessed because of you." Here is Abraham. God is actually asking him to leave his country, I joked earlier about leaving a country and going living in a shack. God asked him, leave your country and go live in a tent. Go over here, follow the direction I tell you, and I'm going to bless you abundantly. And God blesses him abundantly. But the thing is, he says, I'm also going to make you a blessing for many others. And people simply by blessing you will be blessed. Who wants to be blessed like that? Who wants that kind of favor? When someone speaks well of you, they get some blessing. Someone curses you, it doesn't affect you, but they get cursed. Oh, my. And he said, I'll make you a blessing to the nations. Now, we know from Scripture that a part of that blessing to the future generations was the fact that Christ would come through his lineage, the Savior of the world. But the blessing goes far beyond that. Sometimes we like to, because of our misunderstanding possibly about wealth or money, we try to sort of put it aside. Or maybe even in church circles because of the money preachers who have sucked money out of people on TV over the years. So we kind of avoid the topic. But it isn't a topic we should avoid. We should learn about it, and we should deal with it the way God wants us to deal with it. Okay? So Abraham is mightily blessed. Let me give you scripture again. Genesis 13, 1 to 2. It says, Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. So this is early on, actually, in Abraham's journeys when we read his story. And it says in verse 2, Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock, in silver, and gold. Did you catch that? Wealth is also not a bad word. Wealth is not a sinful word. Wealth is something that God blessed Abraham with and said, I'm going to bless the nations after you. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 to 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. I want you to see that this blessing carried on. It says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And verse 14, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. So the greatest part of this scripture is the fact that through his lineage came Christ, who would be our Savior for our wrongdoing, paying the price, saving our soul. But he also clearly says that that same blessing that was pronounced for Abraham would come on the Gentiles. Is there anybody here who has Jewish background? You know you have Jewish lineage. Nobody again. So that means all of us are Gentiles, according to Scripture. So we, by accepting Christ, have our eternity sure in heaven, but we have also come under the blessing that was pronounced on Abraham. Did you know that? Maybe you thought, well, I became a Christian and now I am going to have a life of poverty. Well, nobody thought that. Maybe a few did. And I'm going to do it for him. Well, that's a nice thought if he called you to do that for him. But if he hasn't, you're actually not being scriptural. John 10, verse 10 in the New Living Translation says this, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus came to give you life more abundantly, it says in your King James Version. God wants his people blessed. So why does God want his people blessed? I'm going to answer that question for you. Why does he want you and I blessed? Okay? Because he does. He wants us blessed. And we'll talk a little more about what blessing is before we're done today, but he wants his people blessed. Why? Any ideas why he would want us blessed? To give thanks, sure. Any other ideas? Why would he want his people blessed? To bless others? I'm going to give you some verses. I just want to see if you guys understand. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 is one of the reasons. And I'm going to give you three reasons. There could be a whole lot more, but I'm going to give you three reasons today why he wants you blessed. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. Remember the Lord your God. He's the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. King James Version says he gives you power to get wealth in order to fulfill his kingdom purpose. There's one of the main reasons he gives his followers the ability to get wealth, to fulfill his kingdom purpose. Do you understand that? Because the kingdom purpose that the Lord has on this earth takes finance. That's a fact. Being able to give out the gospel and have church every week happens because people donate. Here's the second reason from Scripture why I believe he wants his people blessed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to give you more than you need so that you will always have all you need for yourself and more than enough for every good cause. Whoa, that's some serious blessing. Again, if you have King James, it says for every good work. What does that mean? That means you and I have more than enough for ourselves so that every time there is a need or something that pulls at our heart that we wish we could help or we could donate or we could meet the need, he says you'll have enough. You know, I've heard people in the past, boy, I wish I could do, you know, if I ever win the lottery, I'm going to do something. Oh, you don't need to win the lottery. God says, I want to bless you enough that when your heart is pulled to help somebody, to fill a need, you have it. Now, there's scripture that very clearly says we should give first and then it comes back to us, but that's a whole other message. But I do want to tell you this. He wants to bless his people so that they have more than enough for every good work. Have you ever wanted to help someone and you're like, well, I would, but I can't? Then you're not walking in the blessing he wants. Have you ever thought to yourself, boy, that person has such need. I'd buy them a car if I won the lottery. By the way, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't play lottery. I'm just saying. That's not in God's scripture how to get rich. Gambling is not a way to get rich. I'm just saying. Now I got some people upset at me. Come on, Pastor. But he does want you blessed abundantly so that you can give to every good work. So for his kingdom purpose, to give to every good work, whatever he's putting on your heart to do. And there is a third reason, I believe. And I believe it's just simply because he's a good father who loves his kids. That is one of his reasons. Let me show you again from Scripture. John 3, 16 and 17. Verses we know well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved, made completely whole, mind, body, and spirit. You see, when Jesus died on that cross, he died in our place to cover our wrongdoings. But it much more than that. Sometimes we miss the picture. He also died there for you and I to be made completely healed and whole. But Scripture makes it clear that he died also for us to be blessed. Let me give you that verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. It says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Now, as I read these verses, obviously, I've got to give you some clarity and explain very clearly that blessing has far more and is much broader than simply money or possessions. Okay? I would do you a great disservice if I didn't tell you that. It has much, much more to do with simply those points. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you would prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." You see, God is concerned about your soul far, far more than he's concerned about your money and your possessions. Because with money and possessions and a soul that is not saved, or money and possessions and a turmoil inside means nothing. He wants you healthy and whole on the inside. Okay? And blessing covers that. Blessing talks about you being healed and healthy here, and blessing talks about you having more than enough out here. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 and 37. "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Plain and simple, if you learn how to be financially blessed, but you don't accept Christ, you're one day going to wake up in a place called hell. That would be a huge missing of the point of life. When we talk about blessing, when we talk about wealth, maybe there's some of you in your mind, you think, well, how can it be good? Because look at those wicked people who have millions and millions of dollars and what they do with it, or they have billions of dollars, you know, and they're so wicked. How can that be good? And did God bless them? Is that why they're wealthy? I'm going to talk to you about that for just a minute, because it often hurts Christians to the point where they think, well, this must be bad. First of all, let me say this. The wicked are most definitely not blessed just because they have loads of money. Okay? It is not God's blessing that has gotten them that money. Possibly it is their financial smarts. Possibly they've cheated, lied, or stealed. But guaranteed, if they are wicked with lots of money, they have made money their God. Matthew 6 and verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." When a wicked person is overflowing with finance, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt it has become their God. And they will not be blessed in the end. You see, God wants to bless you and I, but we must never, never allow finance or money to be our God. And I need to make something really clear to you. Money can be your God no matter what level of wealth you have. Sometimes people assume that when someone has lots of money, they must, you know, that must be their God, or there's more chance it'll be their God. That's not true. You can be completely poor and money can be your God. If it's all you think about, if it's all you dream about, if it's what you crave or desire, money is your God. It doesn't matter what level your wealth is. Plain and simple. Don't ever let it be your God. Do not chase money or wealth. Chase God and his plan for your life, and he will abundantly pour it out on you. I've mentioned this in each of the previous services, and I mentioned that there was a young couple who had started a business in our church, and I didn't mention their names in the other services, but the couple I was talking about is Winston and Katie, and they started a business, and I remember God putting on my heart to actually encourage them, and I felt, hey, there's something going on. God wants to bless them. He started a business. And Winston has a full-time job, and they've started a part-time business out of his garage as a personal trainer, exercise, workout. You probably have to ask him because I'm not really 100% sure, but it's like that. But I'll be honest with you. I gave him the word. I knew it's God. I didn't say it out loud, but in the back of my mind, there was this thought. I wonder if he's going to start coming to church less. Because a full-time job and a business, and I prayed, Lord, don't let that be. Well, I want to say to you, he has not come to church any less. As a matter of fact, they're here most Sundays. And he also volunteers every single week. It's close probably to 3 hours pouring into the youth. And has a full-time job and is now running a part-time business. Can I just say, I am really, really proud of you guys. When I was speaking about this, God gave me a word for your business. You weren't even here. And I said, because you've been faithful, God is going to bless you abundantly. You are going to see something amazing in that business. Businesses take a long time sometimes to grow and to produce wealth. But I heard God say very clearly, within a year of when you started that business, you're going to have a huge testimony. So write it down, because I'm going to get you to share a testimony within a year of when you started it. I know it wasn't that long ago. And you are going to share, and I'm declaring it because you've been faithful. So church, you will hear amazing testimony of God's blessing. So he said that to you guys even when you weren't here. So I'm just giving it a second time, because he's a good God. And he looks and he says, oh, there's somebody I can trust. Anyways, I just want you to know, you guys blew me away to have that kind of faith and not let a business overtake you, because I've been part of a business before and it's easy to happen. So don't ever let money be your God. Let God be your God and get ready for blessing to come. He will overflow with blessing if you let him. Here's the other thing I want you to know about the wicked who seem to be overflowing and doing well. And again, I'm bringing this up because I've seen it distract and even hurt Christians, because they're thinking, well, you know, what's the point? I serve God, I tithe, and seems like I'm just paying my bills. But here's this wicked guy over here, and he's buying new vehicles, and he's got a new home, and he's off holidaying in his big fancy RV, and I got a tent. So this is why I'm giving this to you. That is not God's blessing if they're wicked. That is them making him a god. And here's the thing you need to know. In Proverbs 13, verse 22, we read this. Evil pursues sinners. So from your outside vision, everything might look fine, but there's evil pursuing them. But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. And then this verse you need to hear. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Two really powerful things in this verse. First, a good man, a Christian serving God, is wealthy enough that he can leave an inheritance to his kids and his grandkids. God's okay with wealth. The second thing you need to hear and understand, the wealth of the sinner is actually being laid up for the righteous. Somebody should say, woohoo! That guy who has billions and is wicked, that's being laid up for the righteous. You see, the wicked are headed for a really terrible place. And I want to say this right now to you. Don't you ever be jealous of a wicked person. Don't ever think, I wish I could have what they have. Don't do it. Because what you have is far greater. You have an inheritance in heaven no matter what. No matter how your finances look, you got something awesome in store. They don't. King David was in a position where he was feeling really troubled about this topic. You see, he was going through some struggles, and he could see some wealthy, wicked people, and it seemed to him that they had no problems. Everything was wonderful. And he actually got burdened and weighed down because of it, to the point where he didn't know what to do or what to say. And if you read Psalms chapter 73, I'm going to encourage you to read the whole psalm when you get home, but I'm going to read 15 to 20. But go ahead, read the whole psalm if you felt this way at all, because it's amazing how David was feeling. So David's feeling this, it's just not fair, you know, God isn't fair, I can't believe it. And in verse 15 he says, I said, if I talk about all this, I'd be unfaithful to your children. In other words, he's seeing this, but he's like, I can't even say it because, well, that would be wrong. Verse 16, but when I tried to understand these things, it just seemed like hard work. Until I entered God's sanctuary and understood what would happen to the wicked. You will definitely put them on a slippery path. You will make them fall into ruin. How quickly they are devastated, utterly destroyed by terrors. As quickly as a dream departs from someone waking up, my Lord, when you are stirred up, you make them disappear. Okay, here's the thing I want to say to you right now. If you are feeling jealous of somebody who is wicked or even stealing or doing things, if you're feeling jealous of them, you need to go to God in prayer and ask him to show you their end. Ask God to show you their end. Because if you truly understand their end, you will not be jealous. You know, I say this, we preach it, he's saying they will be in terrors. He's talking about hell. And I believe David, when he went into the sanctuary and asked God, God must have given him a vision. He must have let him actually feel what they were going to feel. And I'll tell you what, his jealousy left in a hurry, because he realized they are headed straight for that place called hell. You see, this life is just a minuscule amount of time compared to eternity. They're going to spend eternity in a terrible, terrible place. And rather than be jealous, you should be on your knees praying that God will bring them to repentance. There is nothing greater than someone who is wicked with tons of wealth coming to repentance and then using it for what God says. Because God says that that wealth is laid up for the righteous. And you know what? It's okay while you're praying for them and praying that God would deal with them. You can also pray and say, thank you, God, that that wealth is laid up for your purposes. And I've prayed that prayer and I've added on once or twice. And Lord, it's okay if you want to give me a little bit of that wealth. It's laid up for who? Who's it laid up for? Are you righteous? Are you one of his? Hey, if you're scared of wealth, you don't understand Scripture. If you're scared of the blessing of God, you don't understand his Scripture. If he mightily blesses you, it's because he wants you to use it. He wants you to use it for his purpose, use it for others, and yes, for the blessing to be on you and your family. God wants to bless you. Turn to somebody right now and say, God wants to bless you. You can point at them. It's okay today. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you and you and you and you and you and you and you. You see, he's a good God, and he doesn't say, I want to bless my children, well, except for that one. That's not how he is. Is there a father that wants to bless all their kids except one? I hope not. Come up here and I'll pray for you after. They want to bless them all. He's the same kind of father, and he wants to bless you. If you've been in a position where you think, well, I know God wants to bless, but obviously not me, cut it out. Stop it. Change what you're saying and say, God, I thank you. You're my dad. You're my heavenly daddy. And I receive whatever blessing you bring.